This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Do you want to put a chip in your brain? Because that's what Tesla founder Elon Musk announced recently through his startup called Neuralink. Neuralink has been around since like 2016, 2017, but they've been, you know, on silent for a while. They didn't want to let the world what they're doing. But we all knew you had to do something with your brain and the symbiosis with artificial intelligence. And just recently, we wanted to do this story last week, but you know, it kind of came on a bit too last minute, I think on Thursday night, Friday, early morning. So they actually, you know, made an announcement that they've made some breakthroughs in implanting sort of like a chip that will connect human brains with a computer interface via AI and also via a Bluetooth connected app through your smartphone that you can download, you know, updates. And he kind of giggled halfway through his press conference, like, hopefully that doesn't fail. And then Elon Musk being Elon Musk. But would you want a chip in your brain, Matt?
Well, I think there's a few ways to look at this. I mean, we've talked about this kind of convergence of AI. Human intelligence and machine intelligence a lot on MSP over the last kind of couple of years. And certainly this is the direction that we're heading in. This technology can be used to help people with all kinds of illnesses, from Parkinson's to motor neuron disease to people with paralysis. So there are a lot of positive aspects to this technology. Now, one of the things that Elon Musk acknowledges is that this can also be used to enhance healthy brains. And that's the area that we've kind of concentrated on the show, because this is the area that needs a lot more legislation around it to make it safe. So my concern is not so much about, you know, a lot of people have concerns about Elon Musk and his technology. My concern is not so much to do with Elon Musk. It's more to do with what becomes of ownership of that information and data. So we have that privacy aspect. You know, does Facebook own data that can be going in and out of our brains, for example? Can any technology company? Also, you don't want it to be kind of like MySpace, where you log in and your first friend is Elon from Neuralink. You know, you don't want to get every single tweet that Elon puts out simply because you've got his chip in your head.
And actually, Facebook is trying to do something similar as well. It's trying to get your brain to, you know, look at brainwaves to, you can post on Facebook and faster. Right?
But most of them are looking at these kind of non-invasive technologies. So they're looking at these brain link devices that are basically just EEG based. So they're just reading your brain patterns. But this is actually something that would embed into the skull. And actually, one of the things that I found interesting was that this wouldn't necessarily be one chip. It would be a series of chips.
Yeah, so you can do up to 10, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can keep adding and enhancing different functionality in your brain. But going back to that point you made about Bluetooth, that's probably one of the weakest links in all of this, because it's so easy to hack and jack Bluetooth connections. And it's one thing to get somebody's password for their bank account or to get their ID card details, but to actually hack into their brain, that's potentially something that we have to control very strongly, I think.
Yeah. So how it works is basically it's using a group of, so you would see groups of minuscule flexible electrode threads that would be implanted into a human brain with a neurosurgical robot. And this robot was something that they built themselves because of the complexity that involves with, you know, brain surgery and stuff, right? So they're trying to make this as, you know, painless as possible. That's the dream that he has. He says that the promise is to be like LASIK, where, you know, you could actually just go in, you know, get it done and then walk out without needing, like, you know, a recovery period and stuff.
But there is a subtle difference, though, in that, you know, when you have LASIK, it's just affecting the lens of your eye. You are actually drilling a hole in your brain, skull with a laser and implanting these things. And currently, that laser technology isn't available. So anyone who does have these implants, because we already have these implants for people with Parkinson's and things like that. But that has to be done in a full theater setting, because the skull has to be open. Mm.
So you know, like you said, you can do more than just one implant. You can do 10 implants. It can be inserted into one hemisphere of the brain, and they are connected via a very small wire that's tunneled through the scalp to a conductive coil behind the ear. Now, I have to say, though, that device that goes on behind the ear does look pretty cool, though. It does look very sci-fi-ish, very Star Trek-ish.
Really? It looks like a 1970s hearing aid. Yeah, that does not look cool to me.
It looks cool. I think it looks cool. I think it looks retro tech. That's what it looks like. You know, it looks like someone from the 80s envisioned how brain, you know, technology would work in the year 2020.
I guess so. I mean, I think the one thing that really needs to be done is the kind of legislative framework for this kind of technology. Yeah. That's what really needs to be brought up to speed, because as we've shown in the past, certain lawmakers don't know the difference between Android and iOS. So asking them to legislate on ownership of devices that actually interact with your memory, that has to be examined very, very carefully.
Yeah, so this coil will connect wirelessly through Bluetooth to your computer or your phone through an app. And the app is called Link, and it can be used to make software updates and fix bugs that you normally get with Bluetooth and stuff like that. But I'm with you in this, especially when he mentioned that, you know, this could also be used to make humans superhuman, because I don't think, you know, superhuman intelligence is something that we need at the moment.
And also we know that if this stuff does start to become real, what's actually going to happen is that the kid is going to take daddy's smartphone away and use the app to make daddy dance.
That is the risk that we have in the future. When we come back, we do have King of Culture and a couple more stories. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
Behold freedom, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
And we're back. It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage, King of Culture. What do we have?
We have a movie this week. It's a documentary. It's The Great Hack. It actually came out on Netflix on Wednesday this week. So I watched it pretty much straight away on Wednesday night.
I saw the trailer of it. I actually thought it was like a make-believe thing until I realized, oh, this is real life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it kind of unfolds like a thriller as well. So it's about the Facebook data scandal and Cambridge Analytica and the hacking of elections, the British referendum and the presidential election in the United States. But it's also about the security of democratic elections in general, and how they can be influenced using social media platforms like, of course, Facebook. It's an incredibly interesting movie. I mean, a lot of people are not into documentaries, but they do a really good job with this. Like you said, it comes across as though it was a proper movie. They get the idea of these data flows across by data actually streaming out of people's heads as they're walking down streets in New York. You can see, messages popping up on people's smartphones. Mm. So you really get a sense of what it is that has been stolen from people. Mm. It also follows the attempts by an American academic to find out what information Cambridge Analytica had on him, because they claimed to have 5,000 data points on every single American voter. Mm. And in the end, because of data laws, he wasn't able to sue the company in the US. He had to go to the United Kingdom to sue Cambridge Analytica and their parent company. And he still didn't manage to get the data, even though the case was awarded in his favor. The parent company decided to accept a criminal conviction rather than hand over his information. So he still doesn't have that information to this day. So if you are kind of confused by all of the information that's come out about this data hacks and how they happened, this is a very easy way of understanding it in a very entertaining. And I mean, I was, you know, I know the story and I was literally on the edge of my seat watching this yesterday. So I would recommend The Great Hack, which is on Netflix.
All right. Also, you know, early on we talked about Elon Musk's Neuralink, which is the whole, you know, AI. And Elon Musk also owns Tesla. But in the near future, Tesla may not be the EV choice of your electric vehicle, choice of your dreams, because EVs from China could actually be on track for global dominance because China buys more EVs than any other nation. Last year, 1.25 million electric cars were sold in the country, and that's more than half of the EVs that are sold globally. And a significant portion of them were made by a company called BYD Auto. It's a firm that's headquartered somewhere in Xinjiang, China. And they are not like the only ones apparently making EV vehicles, because apparently there are nearly 500 EV companies in China.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
And it's a huge part of the Chinese market, because China is actually subsidizing both sides. It's giving subsidies to the makers and the designers. It's also giving subsidies to the consumers. So it's making it cheaper for manufacturers to come up with the design process. It's also making it cheaper for consumers to buy. And because China has only just begun its journey of consumer car culture, they're not wedded to this idea of the petrol engine as we are in most parts of the world. Mm. So if a car is cheap, economical, comfortable, it does sense. What they want. It makes sense to them. So it's much easier to get this idea across. And BYD is one of the biggest manufacturers. They've been poaching talent, as in they've been hiring experts from, you know, Audi and Mercedes and all of these, you know, marquee European firms.
They've even launched a fleet of 37 fully electric double-decker buses that will be part of London's public transport system.
Absolutely. I mean, they're doing fantastic things. And we know that Tesla is the best electric car.
Or the dream, at least, right?
Or the dream,
to own an electric car, you'll think, oh, I want a Tesla.
Exactly. But this is kind of like that situation of the early days of the combustion engine. Mm. There were much better cars than the, you know, the Model T Ford, but Ford made them cheap and accessible to people. And that's the key to getting people to buy electric cars, to make them available, to give them the network. So I think we're going to see a lot more action from manufacturers like BYD because they have the market share, the expertise, and the presence, which is something that at the moment Tesla, for all its grand vision, hasn't managed to achieve.
But there are some privacy concerns because a lot of people are also asking, so why haven't these overseas, you know, consumers buy these Chinese EVs? Example, though, was, you know, last year, it claimed that an electric car maker in China gives the government data from their cars, and more than a million cars are being tracked in real time. So that's probably one of the reasons, or one of the areas where they're not really, you know, transparent when it comes to these things, when you're using any kind of devices that comes from China.
No, absolutely. But I think this is where those kind of smart and strategic partnerships come in as well. I mean, we've seen the partnership with Geely and Volvo and Geely and Proton. So we're starting to see this roll out. So there are ways, of course, to overcome those privacy concerns. And by and large, the Chinese government is not going to want to know where you and I actually are. It's more
probably using it for traffic management and stuff like that.
Exactly. I mean, it's more pertinent whether they give those capabilities to our own governments to track and monitor us.
Yeah. Also, it's funny because now China looks like the poster child for, you know, climate change and global warming, because, you know, they've pledged to reduce its carbon emissions in line with the Paris Climate Agreement. And in June 2018, the government launched a 3-year action plan to fight air pollution on its cities. And you know, America's completely done the opposite. But here you go, you've got China, where we used to, you know, I think 10 years ago or so, you know, just to complain, you know, Beijing and other cities in China are just, you know, polluted to the max. But now, though, you know, I just got back from Shanghai like a few months ago, and it is as clean as Singapore. And you just go like, wow, they've changed a lot. And, you know, with these kind of things, pushing EVs, it's only a matter of time before.
No,
you know,
absolutely. And one of the things that's pointed out is that you don't have to pay the exorbitant license charges if you buy an EV in China. There are waits of up to 2 years in some cities to get a license plate. You have to pay, I think it's around $13,000 or something as a fee for the license plate. All of that is waived. And of course, in some cities, petrol cars are not allowed to drive on certain days of the week, which, of course, you don't get with the EVs.
Yeah. Anyways, we've got something you could probably do over the weekend if you have nothing to do. It's like an illusion. It's like a magic trick. Matt, you know, this came from New Scientist, right? So this is something that we love. And I didn't know about this rubber hand illusion. Did you know about it?
No, I didn't. No, no.
Yeah, so apparently there's this, you know, famous illusion where they put like a rubber hand in front of you, and then they hide your left or right hand where it's to a place that you can't see. And what they do is they will gently stroke both the rubber hand and your hand using, like, you know, a feather duster or something, like a pencil, on both of this of you know, the rubber hand and your hand. And after like 2 minutes or so, you would actually feel anything that the rubber hand kind of, like, you know, is being touched on without your hand having the same reaction or action. It's a weird illusion, but it's now affecting the teeth as well.
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of proprioception illusions. So I've done one before where you put a vibrating plate on a certain pressure point on your arm, it makes your nose feel as though it's growing. And that's absolutely weird and bizarre, because you can honestly feel your nose getting bigger. It's like the Pinocchio effect. But yeah, we have we have a very strange relationship to our own bodies, and we take a lot for granted. Mm.
So the participants wears a blindfold and places their head on a chin rest, and then they were told that that one of them will take their right hand and use it to stroke their own teeth, but instead the person actually uses the other person's hand to stroke the model set of a human teeth, which is made of plaster that's placed 8 centimeters below their real teeth. And simultaneously, you know, the researcher uses his own hand to stroke the person's teeth in the exact same way. And participants were then asked to point out their own teeth. And guess what? They all pointed out 1.5 centimeters below their own teeth in the direction of the model teeth. So they actually believe that they were actually touching their own teeth when they're not. They're actually touching the model's teeth.
Yeah, I mean, it's that
they
same...
They feel it's real too. They go, this is my teeth.
But also, you know, you can kind of see that feeling in action as well when you go to the dentist and you have those injections. Yeah. So, you know, when your lips are numb, you know, you try and drink something, you dribble it all out, because all of these conceptions that we have can be disrupted very, very easily.
Yeah. Go and check it out. It's on New Scientist. You can read up about it, and you can probably, you know, experiment it at home.
Yeah, but leave grandma's teeth in her mouth, please.
No, please don't do that. And now it's time for your TM1 Tech Minute. What does it mean to create an AI-powered world? One possible scenario is a world full of cameras, microphones, and sensors, each sending an unceasing flow of information to the cloud. Traffic flows, biometrics, a sea of data, sorted, categorized, and prioritized by the intelligent machines running the system. Information that is as personal and private as it is public and universal. Maintaining these systems require more than technical expertise. It requires the trust and the confidence of its users. Confidence that the systems are robust, reliable, and secure. Trust that their data will not be misused. A hyper-connected ecosystem where data integrity is as important as data integration. TM1 Cloud Services provide the agility needed for machine learning with uncompromised security with data sovereignty. TM1's Twin Core Data Center provides a multitude of cloud solutions, including hybrid cloud, made possible by TM1. And that was your TM1 Tech Minute. Matt, what do we have for GeekTunes?
We have the return of a band I rather like, of Monsters and Men. Ooh, this is nice. This is their latest single, Wild Roses, because nobody does those kind of big choruses quite like of Monsters and Men. Mm. So there we are, Wild Roses.
BFM 89.9.
Tech Talk, made possible by TM1. To learn more, visit tm1.com.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.